Well, it's great to be together as the family of God in our Father's presence. We're continuing our series on Ephesians about being confident in God together. And we're going to be looking at unity together, unity by one Spirit. Let's turn to our first reading, which is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 11 to 18. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one, that is, the Jews and the Gentiles, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them, that is, Jews and Gentiles, to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who are near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. It's a complicated theological reading, but it's talking about how God, through Christ, has broken down the dividing wall between Jews and Greeks, or Jews and Gentiles, those outside of the Jewish faith, through Christ, as they turn to him. Our second reading is from the book of Exodus. I'm not actually going to read it. It's from Exodus chapter 5, verse 1 to 21, if you want to look it up. But I'll just give a brief recap of the story. This is the story after Moses has gone down into Egypt, and with Aaron, they confront Pharaoh, and they ask Pharaoh to let the people go, let the Israelites go into the desert so that they might worship God. And Pharaoh is angry by this, and he says, no, I won't let them go, and I don't believe in God, and I'm just going to make your lives harder because of it. So he tells the slave drivers to command the Israelites to make more bricks, and he's going to provide them less materials to help. He's going to not give them any straw to help them. And so their work becomes harder, and of course, predictably, the Israelites turn against Moses and Aaron and say, you've just made our life worse, so just kind of keep your heads down and shut up. So that's that story. So let's come back to this idea about being connected. We're called to be connected in Christ. We're called into a growing community, just as those children of Israel were in Egypt, and just as the Jews and the non-Jews, the Gentiles, are called together under Christ. Colossians talks about Christ being the head and the ligaments joining the body together in all of its parts. I don't know what unity means to you. What do you think it means? Is it everyone the same, thinking the same, saying the same things, or maybe pretending to agree, using the same words but having different meanings, meaning different things? Some of you might remember a comedian called Dave Allen, famous Irish comedian from a previous generation. And he told this story, which I've heard many a time, with different ingredients and different twists. But it goes like this. So a man goes up to heaven, and St. Peter shows him around heaven. And they go past one room, and the man asks, who are all those people in there? And Peter says, they're the Methodists. And they pass another room, and the man asks the same question. Oh, they're the Anglicans, says St. Peter. As they're approaching the next room, St. Peter says, take your shoes off and tiptoe by as quietly as you can. Why? Who's in there? Asks the man. The Catholics, says St. Peter, and they think they're the only ones up here. And, you know, we can insert the name of our own denominations here, can't we? Because the point is, it's quite easy to think that we've got the inside track on the truth. It's hard not to overstate what a big deal it was back in the book of Acts at that time that non-Jews and Jews would actually come together in Christ as the family of God. Especially when you think about the history of the Jewish people, leading up to the time of Christ, all the way from their disobedience in the wilderness, their repeatedly forgetting the law of the Lord given to them by God to Moses on Sinai, leading them to captivity and exile in Babylon as a result of mixing it up with the other surrounding nations, and even at the time of Christ, of course, occupied by the Romans. There's a terrible fear of being corrupted, of being brought down, of falling back into that trap. So much so, really, that Paul, or aka Saul, the author of today's New Testament scripture, Saul went out of his way to persecute Jewish believers. It's only through the grace of God and through his Spirit could such a man go on to be called the apostle to the Gentiles. All through Paul's letters, there's that call to unity. Some have even interpreted Paul's letter to Philippians as a response to the falling out between Euodia and Syntyche in chapter 4. If you remember the words, I plead with Euodia and I plead with the Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Paul didn't warn the Philippian church in his letter about specific doctrinal errors, but he did address and took seriously relationship problems. It's possible to believe in Christ, to work hard for his kingdom, and yet have broken relationships with those committed to the very same cause. So just imagine reading the book of Philippians through the lens of that unreconciled relationship between those two individuals. Philippians 2. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking the very form of a servant, being made in human likeness, and so on. Broken relationships hurt the body of Christ, and therefore they hurt Christ. Paul is reminding us, and he's reminding them, that God bought us unity, and it came at the cost of the life of his Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. So I say this morning, be confident. Be confident that if God can do this for Paul, he can do it for us too. He can bring us together, called together, through the cross with Christ, the head of the family. But we're also called as we are. Our unique identity, who we are, is important to God. There is unity within diversity, and diversity within unity. Paul speaks in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 about one body being many parts. We, as a family of God, as home groups, as a worshipping community, reflect the different facets of God's characters. Our differences, different ways of presenting, our personalities, our life experiences, our ages, reflect different facets of who God is. And we help reflect him to a world that needs to see him. God respects our differences. He's created us with our differences, our different gifts, our different strengths, and our different ways of expressing ourselves. We are one body, many parts. There is a place for everyone in the family of God. That is Christ's body. There's an old Graham Kendrick song which goes like this. The King is among us. His Spirit is here. Let's draw near and worship. Let songs fill the air. And it goes on to say, for each child is special, accepted and loved, a love gift from Jesus to his Father, above, and now he is giving his gifts to us all. For no one is worthless, and each one is called. Perhaps some of us today, listening to this, need to hear that message speaking right into our hearts that God calls us individually. No one is worthless, each one is called, and each of us is unique. Paul makes it very clear, we are one body composed of many parts, and we are called to express ourselves through the gifts that he has given to each and every one of us. My gifts are different from your gifts. They're not better, they're not worse. Some body parts, of course, are obvious, and some body parts are well hidden. We don't actually know that they're there. That is until they start, playing up and not playing ball, as it were. So you'll certainly know it if your thyroid gland isn't doing its job properly. I kind of like to think of us as being like a band or an orchestra. You have different players, but one song or one tune. Not everybody is called to sing the melody. We have rests for a reason. The flute can't play the bass part, vice versa. Vice versa, however much that it would like to. Sometimes the volume level drops right down and there's a standout solo. But, we all have to play to the same tempo, otherwise it's just chaos. We all have the musical notes in front of us, but we look to our conductor for instruction. And thirdly, God called us to freedom, calls us to freedom, and he calls us out of slavery, and he calls us out of the world's systems. And this is really where we come to our picture of the Israelites in Egypt. Dave Allen, the comedian again, said, "We spend our lives on the run. We get up by the clock, eat and sleep by the clock, get up again, go to work, and then we retire. And what do they give us? The blooming clock." He didn't say blooming, but you get the idea. And I wonder how the Israelites felt in our Old Testament reading. Perhaps some of us can relate to the whole kind of bricks without straw thing. As I wrote to somebody this week about my own work situation, it's easy to forget that God is the one who directs our paths for good when your nose is very firmly to the grindstone and you just can't get a decent perspective on the wider picture. It's hard, isn't it, to lift up our heads and look around when we are placed very firmly with our nose to the grindstone. This was very true of the Israelites in Egypt. Their focus was on their present circumstances and how not to draw attention to themselves, keeping a low profile so as not to upset the system. But yet Paul writes to us in Galatians, "It is freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." Paul, of course, is talking about being slaves to keeping the Old Testament law as a means of being righteous with God. But the stories of the Old Testament, the stories of the Israelites in Egypt are kind of little pictures of what life is like as we move out of slavery into the freedom that we have in Christ. We, just like they, were called to dance. We're called to dance to a different drumbeat. We are in the world, but we're not of it. The church is not a special interest group, a private club that just keeps its head down, but we are called to speak into society, to be salt and light in society, but not to be deceived and taken in by its values. We are in the world, but not of it, called out to be different, to be distinctive. Isaiah writes in his book, chapter 43, "Forget the former things," he writes. "Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." I wonder how the Israelites felt about that as they contemplated moving out of Egypt and through into the wilderness, into the desert. God makes a way where there isn't a way. He calls us out. and he will never leave us nor forsake us. So together, as a congregation, as a group of people, as a family of worshippers, we can be confident that God is calling us out into new things. We are a pilgrim people and we're on the move. I'd like to finish today's message by drawing attention to this beautiful picture in the book of Revelation that Wendy spoke about in her illustration, which I, by the way, heartily recommend you go and watch. It says everything I wanted to say and more, and I should have said that at the beginning. Revelation 7, verses 9 to 10 says, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" So yes, this is a picture of heaven, but it's also a picture of the reality for the universal church right now. So they were called out from every nation, tribe, people and language, but they were called in a way that respects their diversity. And of course, they were called to be as one, united in worship. So called to be as one, diversity within unity, unity within diversity, and called to stand. Dressed in white robes, united in worship, dressed in the robes of righteousness. Paul says in Colossians 3 that our lives are hid with Christ and Christ in God, and that we should be robed with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience, forgiving one another. After all, it costs Christ his blood to win this for us. Just as the Lord forgave us, and over all these virtues, says Paul, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So let's pray together. Father, thank you that we can be confident of our identity as your children, part of the body, with your Son, Jesus Christ, as head over all. Father, give us wisdom and courage to walk as one body in thankfulness and peace, knowing that we are forgiven sinners. And finally, Father God, help us to take our stand as those called to make a difference in this world and to enjoy our freedom in the Lord, no longer bound by a yoke of slavery. And Father, bind us together in love and unity as we rise up and sing our praises to you, the Lamb seated on the throne. Amen.